We're continuing our five-week series on the solas, at the point of ad nauseum, sola being a Latin term which means alone. We have studied together scripture alone. Last week we looked together at grace alone. And today we will give thought to the subject of faith alone. Sola fide, faith alone. That's Latin, but it just simply means faith alone. Galatians chapter number 2. We're going to read verse 16, but I'm going to ask you to sort of keep your fingers in the pages because we're going to make our way through several parts of the book of Galatians. But beginning with reading Galatians 2, verse 16, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we, and I take that we in its context to be Jews, as he's been talking about the relationship of Jew and Gentile. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Now, it would be impossible to these middle three solas, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, it would be impossible to preach on them without some overlap. So if you hear some of that, you're going to probably hear some more of it again next week. They are so connected, so intertwined with one another, it's really impossible to talk of one without mentioning the other. But today we give thought to sola fide, or that salvation comes by grace alone, through faith alone, in the finished work of Christ alone. But I want to be clear. You're going to hear me make reference to, just as Paul does in the text here, of the doctrine of justification. Justification. And this teaching, faith alone, is just another way of saying that we are justified by faith alone. Justification is by faith alone. The importance of sola fide simply cannot be overstated. The Reformation, if you look at it from a historical point of view, the Reformation was built on sola scriptura, scripture alone, that it is the final and sole authority. But the big hinge on which everything swings, on all that doctrine swings, is faith alone. The great battle that Luther and Calvin and others had with Roman Catholicism is how sinners are either declared righteous or how sinners are made righteous. And their argument was, my argument is, Paul's argument is, sinners are justified by faith alone, by grace, through faith, in Christ alone. And so I simply cannot emphasize to you enough the importance of this doctrine. One Bible scholar stated that the doctrine of sola scriptura, or scripture alone, could be likened to the Titan Atlas, who, according to Greek mythology, bears planet Earth on his shoulders. If indeed that is an accurate and fitting illustration, then I think that the doctrine of faith alone could be compared to the world on which Atlas upholds. Or stated another way, Scripture alone lifts high the doctrine of faith alone, upon which the souls of men rest and rely. It is that important. And I want to just simply begin this morning by defining our terms, to make sure when I say things like justification. You know what I mean by that. It's a good term. It's a theological term. It's a biblical term. But you need to be familiar with that term. What is it when we say that we are justified by faith alone? What is it that we are seeking to understand? Or let me ask it this way. How can fallen men have a right standing before God? By what means can mortal men be declared righteous? The answer is by grace alone, through faith alone, in the meritorious work of Christ alone. What is saving faith? Faith is a big, broad term in the Bible. It has different connotations to it. Specifically, saving faith is composed of three aspects. Saving faith, that is knowing, affirming, and believing. Now, it's not been too long ago, but we talked about this, so I'm going to give you about a 45-second reminder. Saving faith is knowing the gospel message that Jesus, the eternal, divine Son of God, condescended to this earth, was born of a virgin, lived a pure, holy, and sinless life, died in the place of sinners, became the sinner's substitute, bore the wrath that we deserve, paid our debt before God. He died while hanging on the cross, was buried, but he rose again, and is even now at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us. Saving faith is, one, knowing that's what the gospel is, but two, it is affirming that that actually did happen. That Jesus did what he said he would do, that he was who he claimed to be. It is acknowledging, affirming, or confirming this is the truth, and that this truth is correct. But thirdly, it is believing that what Jesus did in the message of the gospel, he did for me. That's what saving faith is. It's not just a head knowledge of what the Bible says about Jesus. It's not even arguing whether or not it's true. It is acknowledging. Saving faith is you acknowledging that what Jesus did, he of necessity did for me. I was lost. We looked at it last week. Spiritually dead, depraved, dominated by darkness. I had no hope of saving myself, but God, because of his glorious grace, has done for me what I could not and would not do for myself. And saving faith is knowing the gospel message and is affirming the gospel message, but then it's also believing that what Jesus did, he did for me. In fact, if you look at the close of chapter number 2, just look at this last little phrase about halfway through the verse, Galatians 2, verse 20, the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. That's what saving faith is. Here's what Jesus did, and it's true, and he did it for me. If you don't have all that, you don't have saving faith. It's not just enough to acknowledge who Jesus is. We read this morning in Sunday school that a legion of demons affirmed who Jesus was. But you have to not only know the truth, but you have to confirm, believe what the Bible record is accurate, but then more than that, you have to know that I need Jesus to do for me what I can't do for myself. And that what he did for me. That's the definition of faith that we are making reference to, specifically of saving faith. But I want to talk to you also a little bit about justification. Since I'm using the term that we are justified by saving faith, we are declared righteous. That's what justification really is. And because I'm going to use this term justification by faith frequently, I want to make sure we're all on the same page, okay? The word justified is a legal term. It is a forensic term. And it simply means to declare not guilty. To declare not guilty. To be justified is, in the sight of God, to be declared not guilty, or to acquit. If you were to think of a courtroom setting, and there's an individual standing before the judge, and that person would either be declared guilty and face the sentence, the responsibility for their actions, or that person will be acquitted or declared innocent. The Bible teaches us that every person on the planet stands before the judge of all guilty. A sinner guilty before God, for all have sinned and fallen short. And before this holy and righteous judge of all, we are guilty, we are condemned. But God, there's that glorious conjunction. But the Bible also teaches that in Christ Jesus, God does for the sinner what he cannot and will not do for himself. That is, he declares us not guilty. We are not condemned. In fact, John 3:18 says it like this: he that believeth on him is not condemned. Why? Because they believe. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. In other words, the opposite of justification is condemnation. But because of God's grace, rather than finding us guilty and condemning us to hell for all of eternity, the doctrine of justification reveals that God, because of the meritorious work of the Messiah, declares us not guilty. This is done not because we've earned it, not because we've merited it. We are justified by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. You're going to get that if you don't get anything else out of this series. Grace is the conduit through which faith comes to us. Again, let me read from last week. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. What is it? For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it. It is that saving faith that is given to us by the grace of God. Simply spoken, salvation, redemption, is given to us by the gift of God, and don't forget, not of works, lest any of us would boast, because we would. When we trust in Christ, we are declared not guilty, fully, freely justified. Romans 8 verse 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Rather than condemnation, we receive glorious divine justification. This is not this glorious gift that Paul makes mention of. This gift of saving faith is not because we merit it. It's not because we earn it. It's a gift. It's a gift. You know what's better than hitting the lottery? Receiving the gift of saving faith. You know what's better than waking up and walking out in the mailbox and finding a check for $10 million? The gift of saving faith. That's the greatest gift there is that can ever be given. We don't earn it. We cannot earn it. In fact, the very ability to believe is given to us by God. We're dead. We're depraved. But God gives us the ability to believe the good news of the gospel, that he did that for us. It is a gift. And it is a glorious gift indeed. And it is done by God's unmerited favor, and him giving us the gift, the spiritual act of saving faith. If God did not work in us and through us, we would never believe, because we're dead in trespasses and sins. We're dominated by darkness. We are depraved. We drink iniquity like water. But God, who is rich in mercy, that even while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. This doctrine of faith alone teaches us how lost sinners are declared righteous before God. And that is done by faith alone. Now, I want to mention this, and we're going to come right back around to it. There is also a necessary truth that comes right along with this faith alone. There's a necessary truth. And we're going to get into this more in just a minute. But I want you to hear that there is a truth that of an absolute necessity follows right in behind sola fide. We'll get back to that in just a minute. But would you just look at our text with me? How are lost sinners? How are spiritually dead, totally depraved, sinners who miss the mark every time, how is it that God can declare them not guilty? And I'm not going to have time to get into it, but Romans chapter 3, you preach the same sermon for Romans chapter number 3. The glorious thing is the idea some people have that, well, God is either merciful or he's just. Because if you're guilty, but he declares you not guilty, he can't. That's not just. That's not fair. Well, the answer is through Christ. He is both just and the justifier. He is merciful and extends grace, but that's because of what Christ did at Calvary for us. He is just and the justifier of all men who put their faith in Christ. But if you read this text, you're going to understand Paul is making a point, well-proven point that all of us have got to make sure we're right about. Verse 16, this Galatians 2, verse 16, knowing that a man is not justified. Is a man justified by Jesus plus? Is a man justified by grace plus? Are we justified by works plus? Are we justified by keeping the law plus? The answer is faith alone. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we, and again, I think even we Jews, when you go back to the previous verse, I think it'll explain, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Now, if that's not enough and you're interested, you could do this, and I'm going to run through it quick. Chapter 3, the close of verse 2, the hearing of faith. The close of verse number 5, by the hearing of faith. Chapter 3, verse 7, they which are of faith. Chapter number 3, verse number 8, in the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen, that is, Gentiles is the language, through faith, preach the gospel unto Abraham. Verse 9, so then which they which be of faith. Chapter 3, verse 11, which Brenda included in your church bulletin. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident. The just shall live by faith. Verse 12, the law is not of faith. The close of verse number 14, the promise of the Spirit through faith. Do you think Paul is trying to make a point here? We are saved by grace through faith. And it's not of works. You can't earn it. You don't, it's not about you being good enough or trying hard enough. It's not about keeping this law, obeying this rule. It is by grace alone, through faith alone, and what Christ alone has done. Again, I told you there's going to be some overlap in this, and it's impossible otherwise. Paul is proving beyond any doubt, whether Jew or Gentile, it makes no difference. Justification is by faith alone. Being declared righteous, finding us not guilty, is by faith alone. And what you need to hear and learn is that this is and always has been the only way sinners have ever been saved. Now, the ugly opposite end of justification by faith is this unorthodox idea of justification by works, or justification by grace plus works. And that's what Paul is condemning in this letter. Candidly, Paul is saying to these Galatians, there is no amount of law keeping that ever has or ever will save anyone. Do you know that? Do you sit here and think, well, I'm sure you've heard this. Well, I hope I'm a Christian. I hope I'm saved. I hope that my good works are enough. You're relying on the wrong thing. You're relying on your works. You're relying on the wrong works. You need to be relying on the meritorious work of Christ. What He has done. Not what you have done. No amount of keeping the law, living by the law, it won't save you. It won't keep you saved. The churches of Galatia, and we're about to really dig now, the churches of Galatia had erred, and we're going to see this in the letter, by allowing these false teachers to convince them that in order to be saved or stay saved, they had to keep certain laws, certain Old Testament rules. But that's just not the case at all. Without any apology, the Apostle Paul is inspired to confront their error in the strongest possible terms. The churches of Galatia, what burdens his heart to write this letter, these churches needed to dispel the false teachers and their false doctrine. But more than that, they needed to dispel the notion that anyone can ever appease God by keeping the law. And in like manner today, if you're relying on your good works to get you to heaven, I hope it will become plain to you that your good, it isn't good enough. Christ alone. Faith in Christ alone. And in fact, would you hear me now? Any notion that salvation is based partly on you and partly on Jesus is a direct affront to the finished work of Jesus of Nazareth. It is either all of grace or it's not. Today I want to look at this book of Galatians, and we're not going to do an in-depth study. We absolutely cannot. But to rightly understand the emphasis of the letter, and I really think that the weight of the book of Galatians, in fact, I would argue the weight of the book of Romans is justification by faith alone. To rightly understand what prompts Paul to write this letter and what got his attention was what was going on in these churches of Galatia, why he wrote this letter to them. So first, and I'll try to move quickly. First, the background of the book. The background of the book. And here it is. It's very quick. Paul is writing what he is, and he is stating it over and over and over again for this reason. There were a group of individuals. We know this through Bible study. There were a group of individuals who had come to these churches of Galatia. There's not just one, but there were numerous churches of Galatia. These individuals had come to the churches of Galatia claiming, falsely claiming, that they had been sent from Jerusalem by James and spoke with his authority. But that's just not true. That's not the case at all. They were false brethren. We won't run every reference. Chapter 2, verse 4, Paul calls them out. They were false brethren who had successfully convinced the Galatians that they were teaching with apostolic authority, but they weren't. This claim of theirs that they were speaking with the apostles' authority was just a bold-faced lie. But the Galatians believed it. These were actually deceivers who had devoted their lives to undermining the evangelistic efforts of the Apostle Paul. It was either they were directly members of the Sanhedrin or they were sent by the Sanhedrin in any effort possible to make havoc of Paul's ministry and challenge his authority and apostleship. That's what it was. And unfortunately, some of these same Jewish leaders, these false teachers, had actually intimidated Peter. We're going to look at that in just a minute. To kowtowing to their standards, their legalistic standards, rather than living in the liberty that is found in justification by faith alone. The background of the book is this. False teachers had entered into these churches and had brought with them damnable heresy and had deceived many of the members. These Galatians had foolishly allowed these wicked workers to come into their assemblies and mangle the message of the gospel. There are many things that are addressed in this book of Galatians, but I think it really comes down to how are sinners saved? They're justified by faith alone. So secondly, and I say I'm going to try to move forward, believe me, I'm trying. What was it specifically that these false teachers were promoting? We looked at the background of the book. I want now to think about the error exposed. The error exposed. And here is the error. These false teachers were promoting, and sadly they were successful in promoting, that faith alone is not enough to save. Let me say that again. These false teachers believed themselves and taught others that trusting in the finished work of Christ alone was insufficient to save. They taught, they believed, and convinced some of the Galatians that in order to be a Christian or stay a Christian, you got to have more than just faith. You must also keep the law. In that first century, and it's just inarguable, it's just true. In that first century, there was this hodgepodge of just horrible theology. Jesus, for example, Jesus was not truly human. He was not truly mortal. He was a spirit. There was other teachings that Jesus was not the Messiah. That was, you know, how the Apostle Paul, when he was Saul of Tarsus, that was what he believed. Or there were others who believed that in order to be a Christian, you had to have Jesus and the Old Covenant. But then there's the right teaching of Jesus is enough. Jesus alone. And these false teachers have brought in this error that Jesus wasn't enough. You had to add to faith. You had to either have faith in Yahweh plus or faith in Jesus plus. And Paul says, no, that's not right. They taught that in order, very candidly, what they taught was in order to be saved, you had to have faith and circumcision. You had to have faith, plus you had to obey the Old Testament dietary laws. You had to have faith, plus keep the Sabbath. And in fact, and it would do you well to learn this term if you do not know it, these people were called Judaizers. And that is, they mixed the Old Covenant and the New. They wanted, you know, maybe Jesus. There was, again, a hodgepodge. Maybe Jesus, but Jesus alone wasn't enough. You had to add to it. And that's just human nature. All of us by nature are, one old preacher said all men are by nature Armenian in their soteriology. In other words, we all think we have to add to it. We all want to work. We all want to be like Abel and out of the fruit of the labor of our hands produce something to offer unto God. But that's not it. Salvation is a gift of grace. But these people were teaching Jesus plus, or faith plus, faith in the old, you know, what they consider Old Covenant Yahweh plus. And they're called Judaizers. In particular, if you would look at chapter 2, verse 14, Paul says, "When I saw that they walked not uprightly according to the truth of the gospel, I said unto Peter before them all, if thou, being a Jew, livest after the manner of the Gentiles, and not as do the Jews, why compellest thou the Gentiles," now notice this, "to live as do the Jews?" That close of verse 14, "live as do the Jews," is the exact word Judaizer. Is where that term comes from. It's translated, it means a Judaizer. It means to live as a Jew. In other words, live as an Old Testament Jew. There was this group that entered into these churches of Galatia, and they were telling people, faith alone is not enough. You also have to live like a Jew. If you want to go to heaven, you have to have faith, but you also got to be circumcised. You want to see God someday, yes, you need faith, but you also have to keep up with the Sabbath and honor the Sabbath, and you have to live by these dietary rules and regulations. In other words, faith alone is not enough. You got to add to it. And Paul says that's not the case. That is not the case at all. Many of them refusing to recognize Jesus as the fulfillment of the Old Testament promises and prophecies, refusing to recognize Him as the Messiah, these confused critics devoted themselves by promoting salvation plus ceremony. That law keeping is necessary. And Paul points out, really in Galatians and in Romans, that no one ever has been saved by faith plus. It's always been by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Abraham, the father of faith, believed God, and it was counted unto him by righteousness. The Old Testament says, the just shall live by faith. The law. You need to hear and learn this. The law was never intended as a means for humanity to earn a righteous standing before God. You go read the Ten Commandments. It's not there to serve as rungs on a ladder to help you climb to heaven. Ten Commandments exist to tell you that you are a failure before God. You have sinned and you're guilty before God. And that you have no hope of saving yourself, because even on your best day, you're still a sinner. That's what the law was intended to do. Not to earn righteousness, but to show us our unrighteousness. And Paul is saying to these Judaizers, listen, don't buy into their lies. He's saying to the churches of Galatia about the Judaizers, don't buy into their lies. No one ever has been, no one ever will be saved by faith plus anything. You cannot be saved. Listen to me, friend. You cannot be saved by Jesus plus. It is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Paul makes that clear, I think, in our text. Knowing that man is not justified by the works of law, but by the faith. We've been justified by faith. Not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. I think that's about as clear as it can be. Though we don't face, and this is what I'd like to emphasize to you, in our world today, we aren't combating people that want to mix faith plus circumcision, really. There would be some who would mix faith plus Sabbath keeping. Some would mix faith plus Old Testament dietary laws. But really, our issue today is us trying to mix faith plus our good deeds. Our good deeds. And in fact, our struggle today is to boldly and lovingly stand for salvation through faith alone. In other words, you are not saved by faith plus anything. It's not faith plus baptism. It's not. It's not faith plus confessions. It's not faith plus sacraments. It is not faith plus mass. It is not faith plus keeping the Sabbath. If you're here today and you are truly saved, it is by grace alone, through faith alone, because of what Christ alone has done. Martin Luther was right when he fought against the Roman Catholics and said, no, because they taught then and continue to teach, it is faith plus works. Faith plus. We'll get into it next week in Christ alone, when it is Jesus plus. But that's not how it is. Friends, works can never produce saving faith. But saving faith will always produce works. You hear that? Smoke does not produce fire, but fire always produces smoke. We cannot and are not saved by our works, but saving faith will always produce works. I guess I could dumb it down like this. You ready? If you're trusting in 99.9% Jesus and 0.1% you, you're not a Christian. It is all of grace. It is Christ alone. It is Him alone. God, in eternity past, designed salvation in such a way that His Son would receive all the glory for what's done. That He would receive the glory for salvation. And not us. Because we don't deserve it. We certainly cannot merit it. Thirdly, I want you to notice the magnitude of this mistake. The magnitude of this mistake. The mistake being that it is faith plus works, or faith plus Sabbath, or faith plus circumcision. I want you to get the magnitude of this mistake. And I don't even hardly know where to begin with this. But I'm going to say the best place to begin is just to begin where Paul begins this letter to Galatians. I'm going to say this to you, and I don't know that you'll appreciate it quite as much as you should. I'm not sure that I do. Most of the time, when the Apostle Paul would write a letter, he would speak and someone would write for him. So he would dictate it and someone would write. It is thought probably because he had very poor eyesight, and that would be probably due to the number of stonings that he had received. But almost always, when you read Corinthians, Ephesians, Philippians, it'll close with "written by the hand of such and such." You know, I, Paul, you know, this is my words, but it's written by... But Galatians, Paul wrote with his own hand. You know why? Because he was hot under the collar. I mean, he was mad. And there's no... I'm not in any way criticizing. He had every right to be upset. And here's why. I want you to understand this. I want you to hear me. Because when you mess with the doctrine of justification by faith alone, you distort the gospel. When you distort the doctrine of sola fide, faith alone, when you distort how sinners are declared righteous, you are messing with the gospel of Jesus. Paul just said, "I ain't having it. I'm not going to put up with it." And he is so upset that rather than him dictating a letter to someone, he takes the pen in hand, quill and ink in hand, and he writes for himself. You check me out at the close of Galatians, but I want you to see the angry words that are at the very beginning of this letter as it exposes the magnitude of their mistake. Chapter 1, verse 6. "I marvel that you are so soon removed from Him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. But there be some that trouble you." He's talking about those false teachers that came in and would pervert the gospel of Christ by teaching that you can be made with right. You can be made right with God by faith plus is perverting the gospel. Now notice, Paul is not sugarcoating his sermon, verses 8 and 9. "But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed." This is hard language. But it is what the text means. If anybody preaches any other gospel except the one true saving gospel, let them be damned. That's what the word means. And Paul said, maybe you didn't get it the first time. Let me repeat that. Verse number 9. "As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed," anathematized. Let him be damned. Neither Paul, or really the Holy Spirit, would tolerate those false teachers' assault on the perfect, finished work of the Son of God. The Spirit burdens Paul to pen this scathing letter to awaken the Galatians from their spiritual slumber. Listen to what he says in verses 6 through 9. I'm amazed. Paul says, I can see him writing in big bold. I can't believe you. I cannot believe. How is it that you have drifted so quickly from the truth? It astonishes me. In fact, you go on to read a little bit later, he says, you foolish Galatians, who bewitched you? Who fooled you? Are you so spiritually ignorant of the truth that you would allow somebody to tell you that you can be saved by any other means than by the finished work, faith in the finished work of Christ alone? In other words, Paul is livid about this because it introduces a false gospel. Jesus plus. And that's a false gospel. I'm marveled. I'm amazed. I'm astonished. Verse 6, that you are so soon removed from Him. From Him. From Jesus. That called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another, because there is no other gospel message. There is one true life-saving, soul-saving, good news message, and it is the true gospel of Jesus Christ. There are not more than one gospel. There are not two gospels. There are not three gospels. There is one soul-saving message of good news, and that is Jesus paid it all. And there ever has been, and there never will be any other way in which sinners can be justified or declared righteous before God than the one true saving message. That's it. Friends, I don't know how to say it any stronger. Paul is just thinking, y'all lost your mind. You Galatians, you've gone off the deep end. What's wrong with you? We don't really understand it because most of the time when Paul begins a letter, it's, hey, how's your mom and them? You know, I hope everybody's doing all right. Timothy says, hey. Luke says, hey, yada, yada. In this letter, Paul dispenses with almost all of those niceties and gets right down to business saying, what is wrong with you people? What's wrong with you? How dare you depart from the only soul-saving message there is? This is the magnitude of their mistake. Make no bones about it when you distort the truth of faith alone, you distort the gospel. When you say it takes faith plus what you have said is Jesus is not enough. Paul says, I ain't having it. Now, I put over a lot, but I ain't putting over that. As a matter of fact, if you are interested in this, that clock up there is my mortal enemy. In chapter 2, Peter kowtowed to these Judaizers. Right? Just look with me, chapter 2, verse 11. But when Peter was come to Antioch, I withstood him to the face. Now, I want you to get that. I withstood him to his face. Why? Because he was to be blamed. What had he done? What had he done? Verse 12, for before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles, but when they were come, let me set that up for you. In other words, Peter was eating with the Gentiles, enjoying the liberty that we have in Christ. But when the Judaizers, who said you got to live by the Old Testament law, when they came into town, Peter separated himself from the Gentiles and started living the way they said you got to in order to be saved or stay saved. Verse 12, for before that certain came from James, he did eat with the Gentiles, but when they were come, he withdrew and separated himself, fearing them which were of the circumcision, the Jews. And then not only that, he drew others with him. Verse 13, and the other Jews dissembled likewise with him, insomuch that Barnabas also was carried away with their dissimulation. Peter was living in such a way. You get it? These people come into town and say, in order to be saved, you gotta have faith, but you also gotta live by the Old Testament law. In order to be saved, you gotta have faith plus do this, these ceremonies and sacrifices. And Peter, with all of his strong points, Peter was still Peter, and he was a man, and he failed. And when those Judaizers came into town, can I say it like this? Peter got scared. He was sitting there with the Gentiles, eating him a nice rack of baby back ribs with a slab of bacon on the side. And when the Judaizers come into town, he pushed that off the table and pretended like he didn't like pork. Afraid of these Judaizers. And what does Paul say? Paul said, I got in Peter's face. I withstood him to the face. In other words, Paul says, I don't care who you are, if you distort the gospel, we're going to have words. If you try and say that there's more than one way for sinners to be declared righteous before God, I'm going to have something to say to you. I don't care if you are the Apostle Peter. I don't care if you did preach and 3,000 people were saved. Right now, you're not acting like a new covenant Christian. You're acting like an old covenant Jew. Listen to me. Anytime anyone ever says it is faith plus, we need to do like Paul and have the boldness to stand and say, oh no, it never has been and it never will be faith plus. It is only grace alone, faith alone in Christ alone. If Paul got angry, and he did, you think it's appropriate for us to shrug our shoulders when somebody says there's more than one gospel? There's more than one way? Friends, I said at the beginning of the sermon, I simply cannot state to you enough the importance of faith alone. This getting this wrong is not a minor infraction. It is a major offense. This is not fumbling on first down. The doctrine of faith alone is not just a hill to die on, it is the hill to die on, because when you get it wrong, you get the gospel wrong. And you know what happens when you get the gospel wrong? People die and go to hell. So don't expect me, nor should you, sugarcoat and love up on people who will not rightly proclaim the only saving way for sinners to come to know God. I make people mad every time. But I really like such and such. You like people that sugarcoat the path to hell? Really? Yeah, but he's so sweet, he's so nice, and you know, yada yada. You really? The suit that he has on is of more importance than the words that are coming out of his face? Paul comes right out of the gate here in Galatians at full speed. He wants to trample underfoot the error of these false teachers, and so should you. Somebody comes around and says, either, listen to this, either by their words or by their behavior. And that's what Peter got wrong. It wasn't Peter was teaching wrong, he was living wrong. When somebody comes by and says there's more than one way, you need to call them what they are. False brother, heretic. When somebody refuses to publicly say that salvation is only found in the finished, by faith in the finished word, if somebody doesn't come out and clearly teach that, I don't care how sharp they look. I don't care how nice they are. I don't care how big the crowd is. False brother. Every Christian should serve as a steadfast soldier of the cross, garrisoning the good news of Christ, lest the gospel be assaulted by its relentless enemies. Listen, you can be wrong about a lot of things, still go to heaven. But you cannot be wrong about the manner in which mortal men are declared righteous before a holy God and still be a Christian. Oil and water will never mix. Neither will works and grace. Works and faith. Paul says. In fact, Galatians 2:21, I want you to listen to the weight of this, and I'm approaching the landing zone here. Galatians 2:21, I do not frustrate. Here's what Paul is saying here. I'm not minimizing the sufferings of Christ. I'm not belittling the grace of God. And notice what he says, for if righteousness come by the law, then Jesus died for nothing. Do you see that? If you could be right before God without Jesus, then he died for nothing. He suffered, bled, and died for no reason. Paul says, I'm not going to do that to the grace of God. I'm not going to minimize the glorious gift of grace by telling somebody they can do it on their own. I'm not going to make little of the sacrifice of Jesus at Calvary in the behalf of sinners by saying it's you plus him. Fourthly and finally, this doctrine defended, the doctrine of faith alone defended. One more time, look at our text, Galatians 2:16, one more time. Knowing, Paul, there are no doubts about this, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ, not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Three times in that one verse, Paul is inspired to write that justification is not by the work, not by works of the law, but by faith. And I guess that I'm just naive enough to believe that when Paul wrote here at the close of this verse, no flesh, that's just exactly what he meant. Not Old Testament flesh, not New Testament flesh, not Jewish flesh, not Gentile flesh, not light-colored flesh, not darker-colored flesh, not Sanhedrin flesh, not Samaritan flesh, not American flesh. No person, no one, no human, no individual, no man, no woman, no boy, no girl, no one can ever be saved by their good deeds, but by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. That's it. If Jewishness could have ever saved anybody, he would have saved the Apostle Paul. But if you get over to Philippians chapter number 3, he's going to say all that is nothing. Nothing. I would encourage you to look. Philippians 3 verse 5 through 9. None of that could save Christ alone. I don't know how much plainer the Holy Spirit could be. Sit down and read Romans chapter 1, Paul condemns the Gentile world under sin. Romans chapter 2, Paul condemns the Jewish world under sin. Romans chapter 3, he condemns everybody under sin. And then in Romans chapter 3, verse 20, Paul writes this, therefore by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets. Verse 22, even the righteousness of God which is by faith in Christ unto all and upon all that call upon him. And then in Romans 3:28, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Romans 5 verse 1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I think Paul believes in justification by faith alone. I don't know how much clearer God can be. You. The Galatians could not. The Judaizers could not. You cannot, I cannot, no one can be saved by the keeping of the law. The Galatians allowed this error to be propagated. The Judaizers promoted this error. Some surprising saints like Peter even kowtowed to that error. But Paul said, I ain't putting up with that error. That was true in the first century. It needs to be true in the 21st century. How are sinners declared not guilty by God? We are justified by faith alone. And because I can't let you go without saying it one more time, the only way anyone at any time has ever been saved, it has been by grace alone, through faith alone, and the finished work of Christ alone, to the glory of God alone. I want to ask you to stand with me as we're dismissed today. Thank you for your patience and your attention to the preaching of God's Word. I know I'm lonely, but I want so much to impart these truths to you, to make them real to you, to make them so that you'll stand in having done all these things.